Wendell Potter was a health insurance industry executive who became somewhat of a whistleblower on the industry and is now a consumer advocate. In 2016, he and co-author Nick Penniman published Nation on the Take, about how money has corrupted not only politics, but public discourse. What is Tarbell, and what led you to start it?
Tarbell is a new nonprofit news organization, a journalism organization, the all-digital, that we're launching later this year. Tarbell.org is the name of the website. I'm starting it, my colleagues and I, because we have just been so concerned, and I have over the course of my career, about the state of journalism as a watchdog and the role of journalism as a watchdog, in particular, looking at the special interests, the corporations and special interests that are able to influence public opinion, public policy, and elections. And people are certainly aware of money in politics, but I don't think they realize exactly the extent of it and how it affects their daily lives. So it'll be an investigative news organization looking at healthcare initially and the role that money plays in our healthcare system, why our healthcare system is so expensive and inequitable. But we're also going to have an equal focus on solutions journalism. It's not just investigating problems, but investigating solutions. We know that our problems are not necessarily intractable. They can be solved, but we need to make sure that there's an awareness of what potential solutions are. So that's kind of it in a nutshell.
Can you explain a little bit about how big money has corrupted the public discourse? I mean, what is big money, and how is it influencing policy?
Yeah, I know this from personal experience. I was head of corporate communications for over the course of 20 years for two large insurance companies, Humana and Cigna. And before that, I worked for the Baptist Health System of East Tennessee back in the day. So my career spans about 25 years. And my role largely was communications. Certainly my last career stop at Cigna was head of corporate communications. I worked with colleagues, my peers, and with other companies and with trade associations in Washington to develop strategic communications plans to try to protect a very profitable status quo for the industry. And in many cases, we were engaged in questionable and I think unethical PR tactics to get people to believe things that weren't necessarily true, including financing the formation of fake grassroots organizations, often called AstroTurf organizations. And people are just usually completely clueless about how their thoughts and their actions and even how they vote, how all that is manipulated behind the scenes in a very stealth way by large corporate interests. Now, money in politics I wrote a book about that called Deadly Spin. My most recent book is called Nation on the Take, How Big Money Corrupts Our Democracy and What We Can Do About It. And that book looks at how money is spent directly by large special interests and very rich individuals to influence elections directly and public policy directly. So on one hand, you've got a lot of money that's being spent behind the scenes to influence the way we think and vote to influence public policy and elections. And money in politics more directly is money that is spent and now is spent in larger amounts than I think any of us could ever have imagined to have a direct bearing on elections and public policy.
So what exactly is fake news, and how did the meaning get corrupted?
Fake news is a relatively new term for a phenomenon that's been going on a long time, although with a new twist. Most people became familiar with the term actually just last year when it became apparent that some individuals, and who knows, some hackers, who knows exactly where they were, maybe some of them in Russia, we'll maybe ultimately find out, were able to use social media to mislead people, to get people to believe things that simply weren't true about political candidates. And so what we saw was the use of social media, the internet, in ways we hadn't seen before, to get hoaxes out there. For example, like the Pope endorsing Donald Trump for president. I'm sure that that went viral, and a lot of people believe believe that, and that's just one example. So it originally was a term that I think Mark Zuckerberg, the CEO of and founder of Facebook, used in an address about these hoaxes, and he used the term fake news. I think this might have been in September of last year. And so that for a while was what people considered fake news to be. More recently, President Trump has appropriated the term to characterize, frankly, stories that he doesn't care about in the media as fake news. So it's taken a different turn in meaning, and I think it depends on who you are, what you think the meaning of fake news really is.
A Pew poll last May showed 44% of Americans get some of their daily news from Facebook, and close to 1 in 5 say they rely on Facebook for news. What sort of responsibility does Facebook have in fact-checking or distributing news?
I frankly think Facebook has a significant responsibility. It has become part of the media. If that many people are relying on Facebook for their news and information, it is a media outlet. And media outlets, in my view, have an ethical responsibility to the public to do all they can to make sure that what is disseminated is accurate. That poses a big challenge for Facebook, and you certainly have freedom of information issues and freedom of the press issues that are real and important. You never can completely eradicate fake news. Like I said, fake news is kind of a new term for something that's been going on a long time, which is propaganda. And that is essentially some people and organizations do to advance a certain cause or agenda or a candidate. That's been going on again for forever, and it happens in just about every, presidential campaign, which lies are spread about candidates. But the difference here is just the ease and rapidity with which it can be done now using social media. So I think Facebook really has a very important and critical role and responsibility of warning people when something is being posted that doesn't have any bearing in fact, is a hoax, or you get into some problems when we're talking about misleading information or just partial disclosure of the facts. So it's not a black and white issue by any means.
Of course, the internet is 24/7, but what has the 24-hour cable news network cycle done to public discourse?
I think the 24/7 cycle that we have because of cable news has not really served us well. We certainly can be informed of what's going on around the clock, but what we have, I think, which is regrettable, is largely just talking heads and not real news coverage. For the most part, cable outlets don't really engage in investigative coverage. It's largely a group of people sitting around talking, and often they are arguing with each other. And what you typically have on cable news is the he said, she said variety of what passes for journalism, and I think is very troubling. And it's one of the reasons I'm starting Tarbell, is because that's so superficial and inadequate for a democracy.
Much of the criticism about the way we consume news is a perceived lack of critical thinking. The people accept whatever comports with their view and reject the rest. Is there a solution to the lack of critical thinking skills among news consumers? And what's the way forward?
It can be addressed, and it's incredibly important. I think that probably is the lack of critical thinking skills really is one of the biggest threats to our democracy and way of life. I don't think that in our schools we have an emphasis necessarily on critical thinking skills. When I was growing up, I don't think we had any courses in critical thinking necessarily, but there was I learned over the course of my education to be somewhat discerning. That said, regardless of your education and training, we're all very gullible. So we need to be equipped with the tools to try to figure out what's true and what's not, or at least as a truth that can be very relative, but to make sure that we are aware more than we are now of the forces that are at play to get us to think in certain ways. So I think there's a big role for the schools to play and community organizations at all levels to help people understand what's at stake and what we're talking about here, and how to become critical thinkers, how to identify fake grassroots organizations, for example, like I referenced earlier, that I used to be involved in, regrettably, when I was in the insurance industry.
Well, Mr. Potter, thank you very much for speaking with us.
My pleasure. Thank you, Victor.